Welcome to another Shadrick Siding Podcast. I'm JP Shadrick. Home sweet home. Finally, in week 6, the Jaguars play a game at Everbank Field for the first time since week 2. They'll host the Houston Texans Sunday at 1 o'clock. And the next game in Jacksonville after this one is week 11. Sunday's game is the only game at Everbank in a 2-month window. The Texans and Jaguars are in a similar situation at 1-4 and trying to stay out of the AFC South cellar. And coming up, we'll hear from the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, who says there's not Texans remorse for not drafting Blake Bortles. At least not yet. But first, the Jaguars were busy in the community this week. Thursday night at Everbank Field, the Jaguars Women's Association held Meet Me at the 50 to benefit In the Pink and promote breast cancer awareness. Nearly 500 attended the event hosted by Michaela Bradley and ESPN's Susie Colbert. On Tuesday, Telvin Smith spoke to a group of students at Southside Middle School about the importance of leadership and education. Also on Tuesday...
But we'll visit again. We'll drop by very soon. Next time we'll stay for the whole afternoon.
That's Jaguars defensive end Jared Audrick reading to a group of about 100 kids at the downtown library.
I feel thankful to be able to be in a position to affect lives, and especially, you know, young lives, just because they're so impressionable, especially to make a positive impact. And hopefully, you know, reading with them, you know, and having a connection of being a football player, which two things don't always necessarily connect, you know, hopefully I can make that, you know, that connection a bit for them, whether it's, you know, for 20 minutes today or, you know, for a lifetime.
As you can imagine, Audrick had the group locked in with his reading of Underpants Zoo.
Wait a minute. That's not a monkey. That looks like... It's a tiger!
For me, when I was a kid, you know, interacting with a, you know, dare to call myself a sports star, but you know, an athlete, you know, I thought was cool, you know, whether it was just talking with them, and if I had a chance to sit down and interact with them and do something with them, I thought it was even cooler, you know. If there's anything that I can, any attention I can bring to their reading and what reading has brought me, or the things that it's you know, taught me or shown me in the worlds that I've got to explore, you know, inside the books, then cool, if I can be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it makes a lasting impression, you know, however long that is.
Now to this week's game. The Jags face the Houston Texans Sunday at Everbank Field. The Texans lead the all-time series 15-11 and have won 7 of the last 9 meetings. Today we visit with the radio voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, who's called every game in team history. It's not the best of starts in Houston, but there's still hope. It's time to go behind enemy lines and visit with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Division play back again. It's good to talk to you, Mark.
JP, always a pleasure, I think.
We'll find out on Sunday when the Jags and Texans get together for the first time in 2015. You know, this Texans team always has high hopes, but did the Hard Knocks episodes and all that stuff kind of increase expectations from the fan base, maybe overly increase them this year?
I don't think it increased expectations as much as excitement. I mean, people really loved Hard Knocks. The fans were disappointed when it ended. I mean, this was an inside look at the team that you won't normally get. Like, I think a lot of coaching staffs don't enjoy having Hard Knocks in the building, and I can understand why, because you don't want cameras and microphones recording private conversations. But that being said, Bill O'Brien had nothing but praise for the crew, because they really do know how to do it as unintrusively as possible, even though it is all about getting intrusive and getting access. But the fans loved Hard Knocks. I mean, they thought it was just so entertaining, and I loved it too. You know, I'm in the building all the time, but I got to go places I wouldn't normally go. I've never been in a team meeting with a coach and never been in a coach's meeting. And just to see some of that stuff, I'd love to see the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor. You know, that would be fascinating. But I think Hard Knocks was great. It's not like it inflated expectations. I think what they're going through right now is something that not too many people predicted, and they got to find themselves a way to dig out of it.
Let's start on defense, Mark. A 3-4 scheme, of course. When you think Texans, you think defense, J.J. Watt and all those guys. But they've had a couple of non-Texan-like performances this year. What's going on defense overall?
Well, a few things. They're not getting takeaways, and last year they led the league in takeaways. Now they're not. They're just not getting the ball away from the opponent, and it's a big problem because the offense is so much of a work in progress. We'll get to that. But the defense having trouble getting turnovers and committing too many penalties. The Thursday nighter against the Colts, I mean, that thing was real painful because there were a couple of drives in the second half that I know they would love back, particularly an 80-yard drive that really kind of put the game out of reach, more or less, for the Texans. And it was after they cut it to 3 again, and the defense couldn't stop them on an 80-yard field. And thanks a lot to maybe, I think it was 4 penalties resulting in first down. So you can't afford to do that against any offense in this league. I don't care if Hasselbeck was playing or if I was playing. You just can't do that, giving them mulligans time and time again. So that's been a big problem for them. And against Atlanta, they were just flat-out awful. It's been a combination of things. They just haven't played the kind of ball they were playing when they finished 5-2 down the stretch last year.
Mark Vandermeer is with us, voice of the Houston Texans, and I know that infuriates J.J. Watt. We've seen him when things aren't going so well, and I'm sure things aren't going so well so far, and he's an interesting cat to be around this year.
Well, he really wants to be great every play, and every play you have to account for him, and I think defenses have. They are loading up against him. They're inviting him upfield on occasion, then trying to run by him. So that's been happening, not often, but sometimes. And, you know, Watt is still playing as hard and as well as ever, I think. It's just that there's so much more attention paid to him, and the other guys haven't been able to capitalize enough. Clowney's looking pretty good considering he's coming off microfracture surgery. But overall, they're just not getting the pass rush. And what teams are doing, and I fully expect the Jaguars to do the same, is they're getting the ball out so fast. I mean, it's three-step drop, boom, deliver. If you hold the ball, you're in trouble against the Texans because the pass rush is going to get to you. Then the other thing they're doing is they've been able to get some running yards lately. Gore had 98 yards last week. And if you're doing that, all of a sudden play action's working and it's lights out. So they got to find a way to stop that run and find a way to get pressure on the passer. And that's it. Other than that, everything's fine.
Yeah, all's well in Houston. Let's go to offense, Mark. A simple question. Who is the Texans quarterback?
This week it's Brian Hoyer. I can tell you that. And I think Brian Hoyer played pretty well against the Colts. He threw for over 300 yards in relief. He had the late interception when he held the ball too long. He knows he made a big mistake there. But that's the kind of football, the 300-yard part, that I expected out of Brian Hoyer when he got the nod in the first place. I think that's what the coaches expected. But on opening day, he turned the ball over twice. The moment was too big for him or whatever, and he was replaced by Ryan Mallett, who I also expected more from during his time. But Mallett has had difficulty being accurate, and that's cost him his job for the time being. We could see Mallett again. I don't know. I think Hoyer's going to be more consistent this time, but again, I could be wrong because I was wrong before, but that's what the hope is. Hoyer more consistent, Arian Foster healthy, run it a bit more, and hopefully the defense can come through. Maybe you get a lead from time to time, and you're able to jump on guys instead of constantly trying to claw your way uphill in these games, and as you know, that's not a winning recipe.
Is there remorse on that side when they see Blake Bortles in Jaguar colors Sunday?
You know, it's an interesting question. I just can't imagine they were going to take him number one. And when the Jags took Bortles at number 3 overall, I think a lot of people were surprised. But maybe the Jaguars are having the last laugh. You know, and it's only year 2, and he's improved a lot. I can see that. I'll know a whole lot more about how they feel and how I feel after I see him in person. I always think calling a game in the booth, I see things at a quarterback that I wouldn't normally see. So I just am looking forward to seeing Blake Bortles play. And I was a fan of him in college. Obviously, there was so much focus on this team in the quarterback position. Last offseason, he was one of the guys that I was thinking the Texans would look at. And I don't think there's remorse yet. But if Bortles continues to shine and leads the Jags to a winning season or at least a dramatic improvement over last year, I would think there would be, but I can't speak for the administration here.
Mark Vandermeer with us, voice of the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins, what a year he's having. Leads the league in receiving yardage. Why is he so good? Where has his improvement been over his first few years in the NFL?
Well, I think he's looked good from the get-go, and he's just gotten better. He knows this offense better now. He's finding the open spots. He's developed chemistry with both quarterbacks. He's got a tremendous catch radius. He makes tremendous one-handed grabs. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. has that market cornered, at least highlight-wise, but DeAndre's come up with some catches so far in his career. There was one against the Giants last year early on that did not count because of a penalty, but he had a one-handed grab that, trust me, was better than the one that Beckham is famous for now. It was in traffic, two people on him, and he one-hands it over the top and is able to reel it in for a long catch. This guy is absolutely phenomenal. He's one of the best wide receivers in this league, and I'm really grateful that he's a Houston Texan, particularly with Andre Johnson gone now. And now you pick up right where you left off with a great wide receiver, and now they have to continue to build around him. I think this wide receiver group is pretty strong here, by the way. I know the Jags have a strong group. This group, I think, is very strong with Cecil Shorts, who you know, and Nate Washington. But they also have Jalen Strong, who caught two touchdowns in the last game. Keith Mumphrey, a fifth-round draft choice, who looks pretty solid. I think it's a pretty deep group.
Speaking of Cecil, how is he looking with the shoulder coming back from that injury? And how's he held up overall in Houston so far?
I think he looks good. When he's out there, he looks good, and he did have the shoulder injury. He's been practicing, at least on a limited basis. I think he's on target to play, and I'm hoping he pulls against the Jags what Andre Johnson did to the Texans with two touchdown grabs. And, maybe a small-scale version of that, if you will. I know the history isn't exactly equivalent, but I want to see something similar out of him. He's a really, as you know, he's a great guy, very interesting to talk to. He's good on the field. They have him for a reason. I think Nate Washington, too, is a good receiver, but he's banged up right now with a hamstring. We'll see what happens with Cecil on Sunday.
Mark Vandermeer with us. Let's go off the field now, Mark. You've been with the Texans, well, since day one. You've called every game in team history. What's the most notable Texans game you've had in your career?
Well, obviously two playoff wins here were nice. The clincher to get the division for the first time in 2011 against Cincinnati was a thrill. On the road, an 80-yard drive at the end of the game, T.J. Yates, third-string quarterback, engineering that drive. That was just tremendous. And then watching the Titans and Saints play out that day, seeing the Titans lose and the Texans win the division, I'll never forget that, JP. But I also look at, how it is when you're in this business. There are certain games where they might not have meant that much in the context of a season. But, for instance, the Texans, their only ever trip to Lambeau Field, they won with a 40-yard field goal late against Aaron Rodgers in 2008. Matt Schaub threw for over 400 yards. I'll never forget that day. It was such a tremendous day in a historic place. And there are various games like that that I will always look to. Look, the Texans and the Jags have had some really memorable ones and heartbreakers on both sides.
No doubt.
David Carr over the top, no time left in 2003. Jags fans might remember that in week four against Byron Leftwich, who had a late turnover in that one. Of course, the Jaguars' Hail Mary in 2010, that was a tremendous heartbreaker against the Texans. I mean, I can go on and on. And, that's why I think this rivalry is actually for the Texans. Yeah, I know they have the lead in the all-time series, but it's the best rivalry competition-wise for the Houston Texans. And I think it's always been the most natural in that the Texans picked up some early Jags and Tony Boselli, Seth Payton, and Gary Walker. And I think that kind of got the ball rolling.
The 2012 game in Houston stands out to me, the overtime game when Andre Johnson ran down the sideline like a deer in front of me. That was a memorable ball game, too.
Yeah, phenomenal game. I mean, and Chad Henne, it's funny because with this Blake Bortles shoulder injury, earlier this week I texted Andre Ware, who I do the games with, I said, I don't want to see Henny. I mean, this is no break, okay? He's a Texans killer. I mean, so there's no place to rest your eyes here. And we just saw Hasselbeck do what he did to the Texans a week ago. So, I'm fine either way, I guess. You'll just have to take it and try to deal with it and try to come out of there with a win.
A few more things. We'll let you get out of here. You're a Boston University guy. What was your first job in broadcasting?
I didn't really get on the air until 2-3 years out of college. I sold advertising my first few years, and I did various jobs doing that. I had my own little business, but I started doing broadcasting on the air on a little station near Foxborough, Massachusetts, a little 1,000-watt daytimer. That means it's only on during the day. I mean, nobody listened to this thing, but I did a game with Foxborough High School, and once I did my first game, I knew I had to be a broadcaster. I just had to do it. I'm really blessed to know what, everyone always asks, how do you know what your bliss is and all of that? I just knew. I think if you constantly move in the general direction of your dreams and keep pushing yourself that way, it'll reveal itself to you, and that's what I did.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans, with us behind enemy lines. Let's have a good one. AFC South play continues today here at Everbank Field. Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, JP. We'll see you.
Our thanks to Mark Vandermeer for his time earlier this week. The Jaguars host the Houston Texans Sunday at 1 o'clock at Everbank Field. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on the Shadrick Siding Podcast.